by fear and mass manipulation of the media. Who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You all know why I'm here, not an orator, and I would not try to convince you of the worthiness of our cause. I'm a soldier, and we are at war.
We seem to never learn, here we go again. They rallied up the troops, God forgive the sin. Hidden agendas, can't we fight for truth? No, then there be no need to fight. Love isn't fatal, there's no fatality. Hate supports U.S. principalities. In this separation, we all suffer. We need to be in love with each other. This isn't training, actual invading. Depleted uranium is raining. Iraq, just know we don't have Bush's back. With a vicious attack, crossing borders with might. On foot catching flight. For hypocrisy, I will not fight. The Most High loves I, the word won't die. Even after all the times it's been revised. I've been shot by Charlton Heston, and he even autographed the weapon. The bullet was lodged in my left shin. I asked the doctor, and she kept it in.
The stress of waiting for the tension of battle, ready to make war, making peace with their God.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Before their baptism of fire.
You're listening to Truth, Love, Freedom.
Today is July 11, 2008. I'm your host, So Real. Hope you had a good 4th of July. Sorry, I had to cancel. I'm sure you guys all understand. You know, I don't blame everybody at the Revere Station for wanting to take a break. You know, every now and again, you got to take a break. And it was a good holiday for that. I had a good time. I had some friends visit and... I'll be honest, we got drunk, but it was fun. Oh, there's so much going on right now. This is going to be a very interesting show. I always say that, huh? No, I mean it this time. This time is going to be really interesting because we're talking about a very interesting topic, which is the Bohemian Grove. And you get into that's a slippery slope right there. I mean, there's a lot of people who believe a lot of things about Bohemian Grove. Some are true, some perhaps aren't true. But I'm really happy to have an expert on the topic. Is Mary Moore of the Bohemian Action Network will be joining us at 4 o'clock. The Bohemian Action Network actually has been responsible for staging protests for several years now. And she's had a lot of insiders feed her information. She knows that place inside and out. She actually lives right down the street from it. So it's going to be good to get some firsthand information. Somebody who's actually going to be right down the street from it while we call. We get her on the phone and tell you what she knows. And you're welcome to call in, ask her questions. The number is 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. And call in, ask her questions. You know, anything you got. Give it, let's see what you got and see what's out there. I know we've all heard stuff. I certainly have. And in a little bit, I'm going to share some of my personal experiences with the place. I actually went there one time, and it was pretty creepy. I'll tell you all about it here in a second. But before we do that, for those who are in the know, who are privy to keeping track of politics and what's going on with our government today, you will know that there was the Telecom Immunity Bill was passed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was amended with the Telecommunications Immunity Bill to allow the government to spy on you even a little bit more than they were already. Gotta love it. Okay. So, let's get into this real quick. The FISA bill, for you who are not in the know about this, I want to let you know. Maybe it'll anger you as much as it does me. It's very frustrating, you know. They continue to strip away our freedoms, and they do it under the pretense of protecting us. You know, the people who are swearing up and down that they're going to bring change, like Mr. Obama voted in favor of the Foreign Intelligence Survey Act amendment, the Telecom Immunity Bill. So let me give you a little history on this real quick. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA as it's called, was passed in 1978 because of surveillance abuses that were going on during the Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon administration. It made it necessary for a warrant to be achieved to do surveillance, electronic surveillance, which is tapping of phones and things of that sort. And I guess now it would even extend to email and everything else. Basically, it says the Fourth Amendment protects you from unlawful searches and seizures. And it requires you to get a warrant. And that they were saying, well, this is different because now we didn't, you know, have the phone then when we wrote when the Constitution and when the Fourth Amendment was written in. So it doesn't count. Well, they said, no, it does count. And that's what the FISA court was established for. So here we are, years, years, years later. And now President Bush was asking for an amendment to the FISA bill to extend his powers so he can now use electronic surveillance techniques to mine for information on United States civilians. And basically, the bill changes FISA and expands the president's power to spy on U.S. citizens without a warrant or approval from any branch or any other government body. Well, and this is the most ridiculous part. This is the part that really angers me. While giving retroactive immunity to the telephone companies for cooperating with the government if they were found to be unconstitutional. So basically, if there was any question to the legitimacy of the bill and it came to be found by some other administration that it was, in fact, unconstitutional and that it was actually a criminal act, the telephone companies for cooperating would be immune from any kind of action against them. Nice, huh? So basically, what this does is give a blanket right of the president to now tap your phone, read your email, look up everything that you've ever done that's available through electronics, which is pretty much everything. I mean, especially with the internet today, I mean, almost everything goes through the internet, even phones. I mean, I'm using Skype right now to receive calls, and I'm going to be using Skype to call for my guests, and everything, you know, all the calls, all the records are all going to be included with this. You guarantee it. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt that a few little secret operations are going to be done to extend the bill to allow them to just basically do whatever they want. And, I mean, I mean, they've been doing it over and over again, and they always make it sound like, oh, we just didn't know that that was illegal. Sorry, we won't do it again. And, you know, and then they do it again, and, you know, next administration comes in. Every administration that comes in, it's like, hey, it's not our fault. We didn't do it. And then they go on to do their thing, and it just keeps repeating. And it's been going on for a long time. But this bill is actually going to make it to where, basically, it's going to be really difficult for anyone to challenge it because it was voted in. Nice. Okay, so today is a really interesting day because today is the day that they start the Bohemian Grove campout. About, I think about 1,000 to 2,000 people flock to Northern California's Monte Rio near the Russian River area. It's this beautiful redwood area. I love it there. I actually was interested in possibly moving there at one time, but it didn't work out. They all flock to this grove, to this club. The grove itself is owned by the Bohemian Club in San Francisco. The Bohemian Club was founded in, hold on just a second. Let me get the right information up here. It was founded in 1872. And the claim was it was founded by men who sought to shelter themselves from the frontier culture, or lack thereof. It's kind of basically what it was. A frontier culture were, I guess, a bunch of brutes. And these more distinguished gentlemen decided to form a club to kind of shelter themselves from this group and do their own thing. And there's a lot of interesting information that's come out about the Bohemian Grove. You know, you got to consider the fact that very powerful men for over 100 years have been going to this grove, and it virtually got no media coverage. It virtually was unknown, I think, until recent modern history. And it's because of that fact it has been the subject of a lot of debates and a lot of people making assertions about it. That some might be true. I mean, I don't know. I've never been in the Bohemian Grove. I actually can't say that. I went on the grounds. I'll tell you about that in a second. We drove on to the parking area, and then we turned around and drove out. We were actually more or less chased out. So I can't say I haven't been on the grounds, but I haven't been into the grove. And this is a huge, huge place. It's several thousand. It's 2,700 acres of redwood forest. It's located on this road called Bohemian Road. I think it's called the Bohemian Road, and it's off of Bohemian Highway. And it's the club is in the Bohemian center of San Francisco. So there's a lot of aspects, this Bohemian thing. I've heard people speculate exactly what that is supposed to exactly mean. But let me get into some information here and give you some background before we get Mary on the phone in about 45 minutes. Let's see here. Now, the club evolved into an association of rich and powerful men, mostly of the county. Some artists are allowed to join, often at reduced rates because of their social status and entertainment value. The membership list included every Republican U.S. president, as well as some Democrats, since 1923. Many cabinet officials and directors and CEOs of large corporations, including major financial institutions, military or major military contractors, oil companies, banks, including the Federal Reserve, utilities, including nuclear power, and national media, broadcasting, and print, have high-ranked officials as club members or guests. Many members are or have been on the board of directors of several of these corporations. You should note that most of the above industries depend heavily on a relationship with the government for their profitability. The members stay in different camps at the Grove, which have varying status levels. Members and frequent guests of the most prestigious camps, camp which is called Mandalay, include Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, Thomas Watson Jr. of IBM, Philip Hawley of B of A, Bank of America, William Casey, the CIA, and Ralph Bailey of DuPont. George Bush resides in a less prestigious camp, the Hillbillies, with A.W. Clausen of the World Bank, Walter Cronkite, and William F. Buckley. Now, of course, this is a past written article that I'm reading from, just so you can get an idea of what it's all about. The Grove is the site of a two-week retreat every July, as well as other smaller get-togethers throughout the year. At these retreats, the members commune with nature in a truly original way. They drink heavily from morning through night, bask in their freedom to urinate on the redwoods, and perform pagan rituals, including the cremation of cares, in which members wearing red hooded robes cremate a coffin effigy of what they refer to as dull care. And we'll get into what that means later, I'm sure, when we talk to Mary Moore. At the base of a 40-foot owl altar. If that doesn't, just the description alone doesn't creep you out. I'm not saying that there's anything bad about that. If they want to worship owls and burn fake people, that's fine. But there has been some claims that there's been more intense stuff going on there, and that this is more or less just showmanship for the one time a year. But throughout the course of the year, some more severe things occur. I don't really know if there's much of a basis or evidence for that. I just know that it's claimed. There's tons of rumors and speculation. But I'm going to consider the possibility. I'm going to go ahead and talk about the Bohemian Grove next Friday, which I'm hoping to go to Monte Rio. Next weekend is when all the bigwigs come in. If McCain was to come in, he'd probably come in next weekend and just stay for a weekend. All the big political figures only stay for a weekend, and that's the weekend they usually stay for. So I'm thinking I'm going to go there on Friday and do a broadcast live from the area if I can find a place to do it. I'm not sure exactly. I don't want to go all the way up there and just to find myself unable to do a broadcast or even talk on a phone and have to drive back into town to even use the phone. So I'm trying to get that sorted out. If I do, I'll definitely do my best to get there and tell you what's going on. As far as I know, there's no protests going on, but generally there's been a protest pretty much every year. There was a pretty big one last year, actually. And, you know, as usual, just like the Bilderberg group that we covered, you know, there's cops everywhere, Secret Service people are everywhere, and it's a lot of fun, I'm sure. So some 20% engage in homosexual activity, but few of them support gay rights or AIDS research. They watch and participate in plays and comedy shows in which women are portrayed by male actors. Although women are not allowed in the Grove, members often leave at night to enjoy the company of many prostitutes who come from around the world for this event. Is any of this hard to believe? Employees of the Grove have said that no verbal description can accurately portray the bizarre behavior of the Grove's inhabitants. Now, I'm trying to hook up. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to pull it off. I'm trying to hook up an interview for next Friday of somebody who actually works in the Grove or has worked in the Grove. I'm not sure which one. This is through a person who knows a person type of thing. I want to get them on the air and just ask them. I'll even mask their voice. If they're listening now, I'll mask your voice. You won't be identifiable, at least over the air. And I would love to have you on to just describe what goes on there because, you know, it's nice to have firsthand accounts. That's what I rely on mostly. Alex Jones snuck into the Grove a couple years back and took video of the whole thing, of this cremation of care ceremony, and I encourage you to check it out. I mean, I don't see anything sinister about it, per se. It looks more or less like an opera play type of thing. It's a little weird. It's definitely creepy. It's very druidic. They're all, you know, there's people wearing capes and there's fire and they're, you know, burning in effigy and, you know, all this stuff. It's pretty weird. But I don't know. I think most people who are attracted to power are pretty weird in general, so it's not surprising to me. But definitely check it out and, you know, use your own perceptions. Feel free to share with me what you got out of it. I didn't think there was anything that incredibly significant, but it's definitely interesting to watch because it's something that's been going on for a very long time in front of very powerful men, and no one else has been able to see it. That was what was really interesting about it. And it's supposed to have a significant bonding aspect to it. It's part of kind of an initiation process into this club. Let's see here. Now, several years ago, this is what's really interesting, too. A guy went into the Grove dressed like, I mean, he was strapped like Rambo, you know, or actually Commando. Have you ever seen the movie Commando? Back in the days, it was like an 80s or 90s flick of, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was going to get his daughter, right? And he just like strapped on bombs or grenades and guns. And I guess this guy came fully like equipped, right, to go in there and basically make the Bohemian Grove famous. And of course, he was arrested and no one was hurt. But, I mean, there's, you know, this stuff is pretty serious, you know, like what's going on there. And there's definitely valid surface level reasons why things like this should not occur. I'm going to express some of those things. I'm sure Mary is too. And then there's like some of the deeper stuff that goes on there. There's actually been claims of child molestation going on there. Now, I don't think that the claim that there's been, you know, a lot of homosexual activity is anywhere a stretch, because you can, I'll play a clip right now. And what it is, it's Nixon. There's a recording of Nixon and the Nixon tapes of him speaking about the Bohemian Grove. And what he says about it is that it's the most faggoty goddamn thing that he's ever seen. You know, I'm not saying that to put down gay people. If there's any gay people listening, I have no problem with you. I'm cool. I'm just bringing it up because there is a huge contingent of sexual or homosexual activity in the Bay Area, and many of the more elites of them, I guess, participate in the Bohemian Grove event because it's very San Francisco elite. The elite of San Francisco are very much represented there. So, I mean, this is just to validate that fact. So check it out. I'll be right back.
Let's look at Northern California. You understand?
Yeah.
You know what's happening in
San Francisco. Just gone.
It's clear over. I understand. But it isn't just not an Iraqi part of town.
Now,
but the upper class in San Francisco is that way.
Yeah.
The Bohemian Grove that I attend on time to time, the Easterners and the others that come there. But it is the most faggot goddamn thing you can ever imagine in San Francisco crowd because it's just terrible.
So, that's Nixon, okay? And basically what he's saying is that there's a lot of homosexual activity going on there. He said he was afraid to shake anyone's hand in San Francisco, whatever, okay? So basically, this type of thing happens. Now, what's really interesting about that, at least what I find fascinating about it, is that it's supposed to be a genuinely Republican, sort of, not completely, but for the most part, a Republican establishment, like a group of Republicans, I guess, run it. Many of the members are Republican. Like every Republican president has been a member. It's very much conservative based. That's kind of a trip to me. And the reason that's the trip is because, you know, conservatives have often touted themselves as being moralistic, conservative values, not being into things like homosexuality and things like that. But yet, many of them, many of the elites, especially our presidents, participate in this thing. And, you know, it definitely raises some serious questions, at least in my mind it does, as to what this thing is all about and what's up with these guys. Like, why are they participating in something they're supposed to be against, or at least what they claim to be against? I don't really care either way, but if they're claiming to be one way and they're doing things another, I think it's definitely notable. I'm going to read some more on the Bohemian Grove here in just a second, but let me play a news report from 1981 about the Bohemian Grove event, and you can probably draw some information from it and see what you think.
Now a question. What have Herbert Hoover, Art Linkletter, Jack London, and Richard Nixon all had in common? Well, they've all been members of the exclusive all-male Bohemian Club in California, where every year at this time, the elite from around the country get together for 2.5 weeks of fun and games. Steve Shepard has this special assignment report.
More than 2,000 members of San Francisco's exclusive and all-male Bohemian Club have once again descended on Northern California. These men will spend most of the month of July encamped on some 2,700 acres of pristine and privately owned redwood forest. Forest very much like this. The place is called Bohemian Grove, and it's located just 80 miles north of San Francisco. The Grove is the Bohemian Club's summer retreat, and its facilities are hidden beneath lush forest canopy extending south from the banks of Sonoma County's Russian River. For more than a century, the camp has been a place where club members and guests from all across America gather to relax. The retreat is divided into dozens of small camps, the most prominent of which is called Mandalay. Among its members are businessmen like Leonard Firestone and Edgar Kaiser, and political figures like Gerald Ford, Henry Kissinger, William French Smith, and George Shultz. President Reagan, Vice President Bush, and Defense Secretary Weinberger are members of other camps. Richard Nixon is a Bohemian, and so are high-ranking executives of such companies as Eastern Airlines, Standard Oil of Indiana, and Bank of America. For the most part, the men of Bohemian Grove are over 50, highly successful, and, according to many employees, politically conservative.
Well, each year, many of them seem to have a stunt, or try to come up with a stunt. Last year, 1980, the popular button was Free the Fortune 500.
Membership in the Grove is by invitation only, and is determined by such factors as social standing, occupation, and personal connections. Privacy is one of the Grove's most cherished virtues. Members may not photograph, record, speak, or write about activities at the retreat. While many public officials are Grove members, the press is a distinctly unwelcome guest.
We're from ABC News.
Well, get back there.
Can we talk to somebody in
there? Get back there.
Anyone willing to navigate a boat up the Russian River can get a glimpse of the northern edge of the compound, but that's about all. Still, there are outsiders who have researched the Grove. Sociology professor William Dumhoff found out enough to write a book on the place.
Well, I think it's a playground for the powerful. It's a place where
wealthy men from all over the United States gather for 2 weeks to relive summer camp with this ceremony called the Cremation of Care that begins the two-week encampment where the body of dull care, symbolizing woes and concerns, is burned on an altar in front of a big owl statue. When that ceremony ends, they all start to cheer and yell and hand each other a beer. And
other regular activities include the production of two plays, one of which involves major sets, orchestral music, and extravagant costumes. The other play appears to be just a bit on the lighter side, at least judging from these old photos. Members also spend time swimming, hiking, relaxing in the sun, and doing a bit of drinking from the Grove's own privately labeled spirits. Like a boys' camp, the Grove has a symbol, in this case, a somewhat fierce-looking owl. It also has a patron saint, St. John of Nepomuk, a legitimate 13th-century Bohemian canonized for his sense of honor. What the Grove does not have is any women, not even as employees. Despite its camp-like atmosphere, the Grove does host some serious business.
To the degree that there's anything important happens at the Bohemian Grove, it's political. The important speeches that have been made at the Bohemian Grove have been made, for instance, and the best example, by Richard Nixon. Eisenhower gave a speech there. It was the first time the West Coast establishment really saw him close up.
Discussions at the Grove in the 1930s helped lead to the development of nuclear power and the atomic bomb. It was at the Grove in 1967 that Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan hashed out differences over their presidential ambitions. Each year, guests like Henry Kissinger or Zbigniew Brzezinski address members on their areas of expertise. Presidential counselor Edwin Meese will be among this year's speakers. And each year, other guests come to the Grove simply to enjoy themselves. This year, CIA Director William Casey is a scheduled guest of John McCone, former CIA director. Baseball Commissioner Bowie Kuhn has been invited as a guest of baseball owner Peter O'Malley. Despite the presence of so many notables, the Grove is not without its small headaches. Anti-nuclear demonstrators gathered near the entrance to the retreat this year to wave signs and chant slogans. The Grove is also facing a suit from the state of California because it refuses to hire women. Still, the Bohemian Grove seems in no danger of passing. Herbert Hoover called it the world's greatest men's party, and there is a list of powerful people waiting to get in on it. Steve Shepard, ABC News, San Francisco.
There you go. 1981 interview, or 1981 news report, and a lot of things said in there. The motto of the club is "Weaving spiders come not here," or something to that effect. And basically what it's supposed to mean is that you're not going there to network or for business reasons. Well, if you look, they publish a list of speakers every year, or they used to. I don't think they do it anymore because they kept getting out to the public. They would publish a list of speakers that would basically talk about, you know, who's speaking there, what they're talking about, and whatnot. And a lot of times it was very political in nature. Actually, and there's one place there that's commemorated, and they actually tout it as being the place where they came up with the idea to develop the nuclear bomb, from what I understand. So, you know, to say that there is no weaving spiders or whatever is a total ridiculous statement. It's more or less, I think, just for show, or maybe some kind of abstract ethic that they're trying to apply to this idea of just breaking loose. But the reality is very different. And, you know, if you've been listening to my show, you know that I am not somebody who favors powerful men meeting in secret, especially men who are working in cahoots with each other to accomplish goals that are outside the scope of a democratic form of government where the citizens get to have a say-so in it. And that's exactly what occurs when these types of people get together. Rarely we have, I mean, obviously they're meeting in secret. They're not telling us what they're talking about, and they're doing that for a very good reason. That disturbs me. It really does. And I think that's a lot of what's going on in our government today is in effect because of institutions such as the Bohemian Grove, the Bilderberg Group, and so on, meeting in secret and basically allowing them to have an avenue of communication outside the public view to pursue that whatever it is that they want to achieve. And that's just not how democratic or even a republic is supposed to work. So I'm against it, and I think that you'll find, you know, there's a lot of reasons. When we get to talking to Mary Moore, you'll find out there's a lot of reasons to be upset about this.
You know, whether or not you're a political person in nature, you're going to find it to be pretty offensive, some of those things that go on there. So Mary's not too much into the speculative aspects of it. There's enough stuff. I talked to her on the phone, and she basically said that there's enough about it to damn it without going into speculation. The stuff that's obvious is damning enough. So, but before we get her on the phone and talk about the things that she feels about it and how and whatnot, let's talk about a few of the speculations, okay? One thing is that there's been pictures that have been surfacing over the net of one is a little black child laying on a table where it looks like he's about to get sacrificed. One of a man hanging in front of a funky picture of like a weird creature of some sort. And the claim is that these are coming from the Bohemian Grove. Now, I've really tried to locate where they originated, and I have yet to do that. If anybody has any information on how to find, if you know where they come from, and I can at least get me started on the route of who put them out originally so I can try to find out where they came from, I would like to do some research and talk to the person who claims that these came from the Bohemian Grove. Because otherwise, I mean, it's just a picture of some weird stuff going on, which I'm sure there's plenty out there. I don't see, I mean, there's a forest around, but I don't see how that proves that that's the Bohemian Grove. But, you know, you can go take a look at it. If you go type in Bohemian Grove in any search engine and look at images, you're going to see pictures. You're going to see the owl in the lake. You're going to see the cremation of care ceremony. And you're going to see pictures of these, you know, people who are look like they're being sacrificed. But people claim that's what's going on there. Another claim that I found really interesting that I'm going to probably delve into more on the next show is a gentleman. I would like to try to get in touch with somebody. I have to do some more research on it, though. I got to admit, I'm not very researched on this particular topic, but it definitely provoked interest, which is a gentleman who claimed to have been sold into a sex trade, published a book years later after they let him go or something. I don't know how that all worked. And this gentleman wrote this book, and he wrote about his encounters with various powerful men. And he was talking about how he was flown into San Francisco, driven in a car up to this forest. And in the forest, he was taken into a basement where a number of men were to perform sexual acts on him. And he basically said that on his way down to the basement, he saw a lake and a giant stone owl. Which, at the time, from what I understand, nobody really knew much about the Bohemian Grove. I think this was in the 70s. And so, you know, it wasn't like the internet was around, so you couldn't really find out about it. So it seems pretty, like, it could be a good lead to something that shows that something deeper and more sinister is going on. I'm going to research it and see what I come up with. Hopefully I'll come up with something that either proving that it's true or not true or unprovable or whatever, so that I can lay it to rest. But it definitely is something worth mentioning. And it's something that if you talk to people who are into the studying the Bohemian Grove, they're going to bring things like that up. Other claims. What else is there going on? Okay, the cremation of care being a satanic ritual of some sort. Now, the claim is that the owl, they say it's a stone owl most of the time, but it's not a stone owl, and there's actually been video of somebody who's worked there, who's taken video of it. It's hollowed out. It's actually made of some kind of like plaster material. But it's made to look like stone. And it's hollow on the inside, and that's where they keep their costumes and stuff like that. So this giant owl is supposed to be nicknamed Moloch, which is a biblical deity that's of, I guess, satanic origin if you're a Christian and you read the Bible. This owl, Moloch, is supposed to be something that they take very seriously. Some people do. Some people see it as being, you know, a legitimate form of worship and or a ritual and a sacrifice and all this type of stuff. I don't. I mean, I looked at the play. I read the. They have the words on the video where you can understand what the words are. It looks like a silly play. There's a bunch of men sitting around the lake watching it. You know, they make a big fuss about the killing of this. The dole care representing the cares that they came in with, the sacrificing of those, and again, basically the shedding of care so that they can go and have good time. And it says in there that this sacrifice sets us free. And you know what I'm saying? So if you watch it, I think that you know, if you watch it with a clear head and you don't get too judgmental on it, you'll see that it doesn't fully look satanic, although it could be interpreted as such. I don't see it as that, but maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, it's up to you to decide. Take a look at it. Now, I want to tell you, I got about half an hour before I'm going to bring Mary Moore on. I want to tell you about my experience at the Bohemian Grove. I actually went up to a wedding in Northern California, and on my way back down, I was going to visit a friend. At the time, I didn't realize that they lived near the Bohemian Grove. And not real near. I mean, an hour away at least. But I decided to go ahead and go check it out. I mean, it's just something I've heard a lot about. And I decided to go and pick some people's brains and just see what's going on over there. It's interesting for me because, you know, you hear a lot about these meetings and they seem so surreal that it's nice to go and be there in person and just be able to go, okay, this place actually exists. I that's just how I am. I'm a very skeptical person. I don't trust a whole lot of people or their claims. I kind of try to draw my own conclusions about things, and part of doing so is to just not assume that people are correct, even if they say someplace exists. I want to see it. You know, like, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I didn't think that the Bohemian Grove did not exist. I just wanted to see it for myself, just so I know it exists, and I don't have to ever question it. And so I go there. We found Monterio. We were blown away. Me and my wife went, by the way. We were blown away by how beautiful it was there. It was incredible. The Russian River, it's a mellow, warm river that flows down to the ocean. It's got redwood trees everywhere. It smells good. The houses are great. It just seems so nice. As a vacation spot, it's got to be ideal. It's 1 hour north of, well, a little bit more than an hour north of San Francisco. And, you know, San Francisco is one of my favorite cities. So, you know, we were like, dude, we need to move here. We were really into it. And, but we were a little creeped out by the Bohemian Grove. I'm not sure if I really want to be doing a radio show like this, leaving near the Bohemian Grove. But, so we went there and we drove down the road and, we're looking around for it, but we couldn't find it. And I thought it was on the Bohemian Highway. So we ended up coming back around and came into town. So I decided to hit up some locals. Maybe they could direct us to it, number one. Number two, it would be nice to see what they have to say about it. I mean, they're locals. They probably heard a lot of stuff. And I heard a rumor that locals don't like to talk to you about the Bohemian Grove. So I went into a store and I approached the woman at the counter and I just, you know, said, hi, I'm just looking for the Bohemian Grove. And she acted like she had never heard of it. And I thought that was really suspicious. I'm like, really? Maybe I'm in the wrong place. And then I go, yeah, it's supposed to be around here somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where, but it's supposed to be this men's club. You never heard of it? And she goes, uh-uh. And she goes, and some guy walks in the door, and I don't know who the guy was, but she points at him and goes, ask him. I'm like, okay. So I turn around and I go to ask the guy. I'm like, hey, have you ever... And he's kind of looking at me like, what the hell do you want? Because this is some complete stranger and he's just being told that. I mean, they knew each other because he's a local as well. And I said, yeah, I'm looking for the Bohemian Grove. Do you know anything about it? And he goes, it's over there. And he just kind of pointed. Well, that was the way I came from. I didn't see it. So he goes, yeah, it's right across the river. It's over there. And I go, okay. I mean, do you know anything about it? I mean, I'm like trying to get him to open up, and he was just like, no, just that it's over there. And I go, what is it? And he goes, it's a men's club. And he wouldn't say anything else. He just shut me down flat. So after those two encounters, I'm thinking to myself, this is pretty freaking weird. Okay, but I'm still open-minded. Perhaps they just don't really know that much, or they don't really care, or they don't want to talk to a stranger, or whatever. Okay, maybe that's what's going on. So I go to another store across the street, and I approach the lady at the counter, and I'm like, and at this point, I'm feeling a little nervous, because the first two encounters were less than cordial. I mean, they were pretty downright rude and upfront, and just kind of like, get out of my face. So I was, you know, a little creeped out by it. So I went up to the guys across the street at the store, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm interested in this place called the Bohemian Grove. Do you know anything about it? And I saw that there's a guy, okay, it was a girl behind the counter, and then on to the left, there was a guy stalking shelves. And I could see him kind of turn his head and look over his shoulder at me, kind of with a weird look. And she kind of looked at me like, oh, she goes, what about it? And I go, well, I'm interested in, you know where, number one, where it's at, and if you know anything about it, like, what is it? I heard it's like a men's club, but what else do you know? And she goes, well, not very much, just that it's a place that, you know, really powerful men go, or elite people go, or rich people go, I forget which one she said, every year. And it's, you know, it's just right over there across the river. If you make a left right over the river, you'll find it, and it's on Bohemian Road. And I go, oh, okay, well, that's pretty easy. I went right instead of left, so I just got to go back. And she was kind of like, why? And she kind of had this weird look on her face. And I'm like, well, she goes, are you going to go in there? I go, no, I just want to drive up to the door and see if it actually exists. I just heard a lot of rumors about it, and I just want to see what it's all about. And she goes, oh, okay, well, if you get in, let me know how you did it. And I was like, okay, yeah, but I'm not going to try. Trust me, I'm not interested in trying that. I don't want to get shot today. And they kind of chuckled, and I go and asked the lady. I said, you know, what's the deal with this place? I mean, you're local. You probably know about it. And she goes, oh, I just hear stuff, you know, rumors. And I'm like, really? Is there, like, people who've been in there around here? And she goes, yeah, there's people who work there and stuff. I'm like, and they don't tell you anything? And she goes, well, they're not supposed to. And I'm like, okay. Doesn't that make you suspect or whatever? Now, the thing that really – now, before I get into all this, I found it really suspicious that she acted like she didn't know anything about it when I first started. At first, she was kind of like, well, you know, it's just the men's club. That's all I know, kind of attitude. Like, that's all I know. And then later on, she opens up and she goes, yeah, I've heard that some famous people like John Wayne's going there. And every year they fly people in helicopter and blah, blah, blah. And she just starts going on and on and on about all these experiences that she had and seen and the protests that go on. And what's really funny is that she wanted to know how to get in. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what the hell is going on here? Like, why is it that so many people, you know, are acting like they don't know anything about it? And here she is telling me that there's like hundreds of people who protest every year and people flying in helicopters and limos going. I mean, this is a small town. If you would see it, I mean, the main strip is a joke. I mean, the highway, it's a one-lane highway going all the way in, and it gets a lot of travel. You go across the bridge, and there's just a bunch of little, like, the streets that are not even well-kept. I mean, there's potholes and bumps, and it's like there's no way that a town could exist there without everybody knowing that something's going on at least once a year, and with 2,000 people coming in limos with black tinted windows and stuff. It's just, it was all highly suspect. And so I just kind of like, I don't know much about it, kind of just like jokingly and trying to make it sound like I didn't really know anything. And I was just trying to dig for more information. And the guy loosened up a little bit. And he goes, yeah, one time me and a friend were kayaking down the river, down the Russian River, and we came up to a beach, and we decided to rest. So we got out of the kayak, and we walked up and pulled it up on the beach. And all of a sudden, three guys with automatic weapons, like military guys, came down out of the trees and yelled at them to get lost or they're going to get shot. I'm like... And I was like, what? Are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I'm totally serious. And there's a lot of people around here who have had stories like that where they, you know, accidentally stumbled across their land, because a lot of it's open land out there, and you know, there's a lot of roads and stuff that you can travel around on. And, you know, that's some pretty severe stuff. You know, I understand that there's powerful men there and they're trying to protect them and everything, but I don't know, man. I thought it was very suspicious. So I thanked them for the information that they gave me, and I asked them again how to get there, and we ended up hopping in our car, and I told my wife, I was like, I just had the weirdest experience of talking to these people. It's just totally weird. So we hop in the car, and we're heading toward the Grove, and as soon as, like, we turned a curve and got onto the Bohemian Road, there's houses there, and I'm like, what the heck? There's, like, houses, like, in the whole neighborhood. The majority of the neighborhood is right next to the Grove for Monte Rio, it seemed like. And there's all these houses there, and then all of a sudden there's no houses. It's just, like, trees. And I knew that we were coming up on the Grove for sure. And it was about a mile down, I think it was. It's very vague, but I remember it being, like, a mile down. And as soon as there's no houses, there's all these signs that say no trespassing. And I mean a lot of signs. It seemed like every fourth tree down the road, there was a no trespassing sign. You know, violators would be prosecuted, yada, yada. And there was a fence in the trees, a pretty big one. And we get down to the very end. All of a sudden, there's, like, this little, like, drive-in area. And there's kind of, like, a couple fence posts, I remember. And then there was, like, a little courtyard-type area. And then down from the courtyard area, there was, like, a booth. Like, somebody would take your money or something. I can't imagine, you know. It looked like it was all rickety. It didn't really look like a nice booth or anything. But there was a booth there. And we had, and, you know, my wife has a tendency to not, like, pay attention to no trespassing signs. And I didn't bring them up. But she drove right into the Grove, like, just right in, and she didn't even slow down or brake at all. She just went right in, and I was just like, get out of here. You know, I don't want to be arrested today or shot or whatever it is that they do here, because I've heard a lot of weird rumors. And I was like, let's get out of here. So she turned around, and as we're starting to drive out, I mean, she, you know, she did a 3-point turn, so it wasn't very long. I turn and look back, and there's, you know, because I'm thinking to myself, is there anyone around here watching us? I hope there's no scopes trained on us right now, and they're looking for red dots. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect, you know? And this truck, this little beat-up truck, is hauling ass through the parking lot. There's this big dirt parking lot area, and it's just hauling ass right towards us. And, you know, we just drove out, and eventually it drove up next to us, but it wasn't on the outside of the Bohemian Grove. It was on the inside. I didn't notice it before, but through the trees, the parking lot extends down the road almost to where the houses are. And it's this huge parking area. I mean, it's huge. And the guy's driving right next to us, looking at us. I mean, it was totally creepy. It was like a movie or something. I was like, I just looked over at him, and I was like, is that dude following us? And I was like, he is following us. Like, and, you know, I got a little chills, and I was like, okay, this is a little weird. But, I, you know, he could have just been running off the grounds. It may not have been that big of a deal. But I got to say, like, I went there thinking that nothing would happen. I went there thinking I'd drive up, and there'd be a big fence saying no trespassing. It would be closed. There'd be nobody around. I thought I'd talk to locals, and they'd be like, yeah, it's just a club, and everybody would be, like, open, and it would be no big deal. But the whole experience, all in all, was pretty freaking weird. I mean, I got to say that much. I was kind of freaked out about it, and not horribly, but definitely worth noting. It was weird. So that was my experience with the Bohemian Grove. That is why when I go back next week, maybe to do a live radio show from there, I'm going to make sure I have somebody with me, if not two or three people, just because I hear rumors. I don't know if they're true. I don't know what to believe. It's not a whole lot of evidence, and with places like this, and government figures, powerful men, you know. You can imagine that a lot of the secrets are well kept. People are probably paid a lot of money to keep their mouths shut. So, that being said, the experience was very weird. And, you know, if anybody's actually had an experience like that, I'd love to hear it. Come to my website, truthlovefreedom.org, and, you know, send me a post. I'll post your experience on my website for everyone to read. You know, I wonder if I was just a coincidence, or maybe it was just bad timing. Maybe people were grumpy that day. I don't know. But it was just weird. I'm going to go ahead and go to a break because my throat's starting to hurt. And then I'm going to check into getting Mary Moore on the phone so we can get into some of this Bohemian Grove stuff. And we'll be back in just a second.
To those who scare peace-loving people with phantoms of lost liberty, my message is this.
Revere Radio Network Tampa, the worldwide home of free speech.
I will not go down under the ground. Because someone tells me that death's coming round, I will not carry myself down to die. If I die, let me die with my head held high. Let me die in my footsteps before I'll go down under the ground. There's been rumors of wars, wars that have been. The meaning of life has been lost in the wind. Some people are thinking that the end is close by. Instead of learning to live, they are learning to die. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Well, I don't know if I'm smart, but I think I can see when someone is pulling the wool over me. And if there's a war and death comes around, let me die on this earth, for I'll die underground. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Now there's always been people that have cause to fear. They've been talking about wars for many a long year. I've read all their statements, I've not said a word. But now, Lord God, let my poor voice be heard. Let me die in my footsteps before before I go down under the ground. If I had riches and rubies and crowns, I'd buy the whole world and I'd change things around. I'd throw all the tanks and the guns in the sea, for they're the mistakes of our past history. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Let me drink from the waters where the mountain streams flood. Let the smell of wild flowers flow free through my blood. Let me sleep in the meadows with your green grassy leaves. Let me walk down the highway with my brothers in peace. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Go out in the country where the land meets the sun. See the craters and the canyons and the wild waters run. Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, Idaho. Let every state in the union seep deep in your soul. Then you'll die in your footsteps before you go down under the ground.
Dr. Martin Luther King. Thank you very kindly, my very dear friends. These churches are really loaded tonight. Never in the history of this nation have so many people been arrested for the cause of freedom and human dignity. You know there are approximately 2,500 people in jail right now. Now let me say this. The thing that we are challenged to do is to keep this movement moving. There is power in unity and there's power in numbers.
That's one of my favorite quotes there from Martin Luther King. There's power in unity and there's power in numbers. So that's one of the things that this radio show is about, and the radio station for that matter, is to inform people about what's going on in the world so that you to help assist you in educating yourself about things in the world so we can work together and hopefully make changes for the better. There is something sinister about secrecy. It implies that a secret must be kept because there's somebody who is either going to be against it or is going to do something or maybe perhaps that it's something that is going to affect them in a negative way, and the only way to accomplish it is by keeping them uninformed. And secrecy is a big issue today. I mean, we got secrecy in government is getting ridiculous. I mean, between all the different intelligence agencies, the American people are hardly informed about anything. We're totally propagandized. The media is constantly lying to us, deceiving us, twisting and spinning the information. And we have these leaders meeting in secret locations, talking about secret things, and all of which is going to affect us. And they continue to draw closer to one another. And they're creating a network. The Bohemian Grove is one of these networks. It is one of the places where very important men, I wouldn't say important because that's relative. I don't think they're important. I think that they're bastards personally, but not all of them, just some of them. There's certain ones, Brzezinski, for example. But a lot of stuff. So what I got here is a really interesting list. It was sent to me by Mary Moore, basically laying out the Lakeside Talks at the Bohemian Grove. Now, they are given twice daily during the annual July encampment. They feature prominent men from the corporate, financial, military, and political elite circles. They provide a way to float ideas that often lead to public policy, but are done without public scrutiny. Do weaving spiders indeed come to the Grove? You be the judge. So, you'll find this interesting. I'm just going to go ahead and read through this. Some of it may make sense to you, some won't, but it's definitely worth noting. 1980, we'll start with 1980. Actually, let's start with the most recent and head back in time. That would be better. This one, the most recent starts on in the year 2000. On July 18th, James R. Lilly, a former ambassador to China and Korea, the topic was China, Taiwan, and the U.S. in the 21st century. On the 21st, Martin Anderson, senior fellow of the Hoover Institution, his topic was status of missile defense. On July 22nd, John Major, former Prime Minister of England, topic was worldview. On July 29th, Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State under the Reagan administration, his topic was, do we need a foreign policy? 1999, on the 16th of July, David Broder, author and syndicated columnist, did a topic on direct democracy, curse or blessing. July 21st, Frank Popoff, chairman of the board of DOW Corporation, or Dow, I'm sorry, DOW, Dow Corporation, topic was environmental journey. July 23rd, Richard Butler, UN Special Committee and main Iraq negotiator, topic Saddam and me. 1998, William Perry, former Secretary of Defense, his topic was preventive defense and American security in the 21st century. On July 18th, Lou Gerstner, chairman and CEO of IBM Corporation, the network. His topic was the networked world. Are we ready for it? On July 22nd, Jack Kemp, former HUD secretary and congressman. Topic was why America must lead. July 23rd, Chester Crocker, Georgetown University professor. His topic was are we Americans still capable of thinking strategically. August 1st, James A. Baker III, former Secretary of State in the Reagan administration. His topic was the imperative of American leadership. I like how they say that, leadership. You know what that means, really. You know, it means basically that we're going to have our way or we're going to bomb the hell out of you. That's leadership, right? Let's see. Let me see if I can just look for some big names here. Oh, here's a good one. George Bush Sr., former president of the USA. His topic was reflections, past, present, and future. Let's see. Pete Wilson, governor of California. Keeping faith with Leland Stanford. George Shultz. Let's see. It doesn't say what his topic was. Let's see here. Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House of Representatives. His topic was unknown. Robert Novak, conservative columnist. I love that guy. I have tons of stuff of him basically calling everybody a conspiracy theorist. Topic was Behind the Beltway, How the GOP is Transforming Washington's Tribal Society. And it goes on and on. Let's see here. Nixon, U.S. past president, topic unknown. Prince Bernardar bin Sultan, topic Middle East peace process. And let's see. There's a lot of different stuff. Arms Control and Star Wars by Sidney D. Drell. William H. Webster, director of the FBI, spies and terrorists confronting the enemy within. A.W. Clausen, CEO of Bank of America, president of World Bank. His topic was the global economy, time to get out of the woods. And on and on. Okay, so, question. Do weaving spiders do, in fact, meet at the Bohemian Grove? I think you would have to be a fool to say no. I really do. So, let me tell you what I think, just before I bring Mary Moore on. Let me tell you what I think the Bohemian Grove is really all about. Because there is, in fact, talk about, you know, politics and policy a couple times a day, but it is generally a big party. What do I think that happens there? Is I think that basically they have a secrecy oath that they take basically based upon the idea that whatever you do at the Bohemian Grove stays at the Bohemian Grove. It's kind of like that whole philosophy for Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I think that's what they do. It's basically a place that if you are a Republican conservative who is running on the platform from any form of government office, on the platform of conservative values, yada, yada, and you just happen to like, you know, your closet homosexual, you can go there and do your nasty thing and it's not going to be made public. It's a place where they basically are allowed to come and do whatever it is that they want to do. And since there's so many powerful people there, they definitely take the opportunity to network and make connections. And, but that's basically what I think it is. So to what extent does things happen there? Is there child molestation going on there? Many people make that claim. I think there's a possibility that it is happening there. If we were to look at the Bohemian Grove from the perspective of the possibility that what it is a place where people can basically go do things that they can't normally do in the public eye or would be get in big trouble for, God knows how deep that can go. I mean, I mean, we already know that, you know, with the whole Page scandal and, you know, we've had numerous Republicans come or basically get exposed for child molestation, homosexual activity. It's just... So, I guess what I'm trying to say is that anything's possible. I'm not saying that it is 100% for sure, but I am definitely skeptical, and I'm definitely keeping an open mind when I'm dealing with these people, because in reality, if you close your mind off to the possibility, you're just being foolish. These men are not good guys, in my opinion. I mean, if their policies, that what they do overseas and wars and third world countries and things of that sort isn't evidence enough, then I think that in reality, I mean, I think that if that's not evidence enough, I don't know what is. You think that they wouldn't do anything else to other people? I mean, to me, you have to have a really low moral standard to do most of the things that these people do. And I think that's a pretty legitimate perspective to have when looking at secret institutions and what they do. So I'm going to try to bring on Mary Moore here in just a second. It's going to be a little bit of dead air, and then I'll bring her on.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Hi,
Mary.
Hi, is this Carl?
It is. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Okay, great. You're on the air right now, just to let you know.
Okay.
And I basically just went through a brief history of the Bohemian Grove. Most of the stuff that one could do a Google search and find out some general information about the Bohemian Grove, you know, how long it's been in existence,
who's
been there.
Or you could go to our website, which is www.SonomaCountyFreePress.com.
Absolutely. That is a great resource, by the way, of information on the Bohemian Grove. I've got to say that as far as valid information, I think Mary Moore has done an excellent job in presenting it exactly how it is. In terms of the provable information, I mean, you got to think, I just said this earlier, secret institutions always have an enigma about them. And you said that, you know, we talked about it on the phone. There's a lot of claims made, some of which you may not believe in. Some people do. I don't know what the evidence is personally. But what I want to do is get into what you've been doing. I mean, you formed the Bohemian Action Network. Is that correct?
Bohemian Grove Action Network was formed in 1980 as a group of anti-nuclear activists that were researching. Well, we had happened to get a membership list smuggled out to us, and so we were researching who was making money off of the nuclear industry.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was before Google, you know, and we had to do it the old-fashioned way, which is look it up in books and all. And there are such resources.
Mm-hmm.
And then within 2 years, we were a coalition of 72 groups across the country, because pretty much whatever your issue is that you're concerned about, you can find someone making a profit off of it, and most of them gather up there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you live right down the street from the Grove, is that correct?
I live 5 miles away from the Grove.
Okay.
There are really no streets around. Well, there's streets, but not in the traditional suburban sense of the word.
Right. I was saying that earlier. I mean, I had an interesting experience. I went to Monte Rio several months ago and spoke with some locals and tried to ask them questions about the Grove. And they didn't really want to talk to me.
You've got to understand that they get a lot of those same questions. And a lot of people are pretty apolitical.
Uh-huh.
And it's just been, unless you're, you know, part of the... you know, the major huge conspiracy theorists, we're coming more from a progressive activist point of view. And trying to, you know, we aren't going to target Joe Blow, whose family's been a bohemian for decades, and, you know, it's part of their tradition to the manor born, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
We pretty much focus on the major players in the corporate, financial, banking, government, and military circles.
Okay.
And when I say the major players, I don't mean senators or House of Representatives. I mean Republican presidents.
Right.
And, you know, admirals and generals, not necessarily, certainly not your enlisted men.
Right.
And, you know, so in other words, it's really the major players. And there are other clubs that they belong to, but this, the Bohemian Grove is probably, or the Bohemian Club, of which the Bohemian Grove is one aspect, is probably the most long-standing and exclusive. It's well over 130 years old by now.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So let me ask you something. How active is the Bohemian Grove? I mean, is it just, you said that there's other things that go on. What else does the Bohemian Grove do other than just encampment?
Oh, they have, well, tomorrow, and this is very bizarre, and every time I say it, I know people's eyes are going to glaze over. They have a very bizarre ceremony that they start their encampment with the first Saturday of every year, which is called the Cremation of Care, C-A-R-E, where they symbolically cremate dull care, they call it, because they are the men that have to carry the you know, the woes of the world around on their shoulders, and so this is their way of putting care down so that they can celebrate for 2 weeks and get drunk and watch plays and listen to Lakeside Talks.
Interesting.
And drink a lot of booze.
Yeah, I definitely have heard that. There's a lot. Is it really that ridiculous, huh?
Yeah. Well, they have their own bottle, I mean, their own labels.
Oh,
I have quite a collection of artifacts that people have gotten me out over the years. The thing I'm most focused on is the Lakeside Talks. That's what I want. But people will bring me spoons with the owl engraved on it and empty bottles of vodka with the Bohemian Club logo on it and that kind of thing.
Right. The Lakeside Talks are very political. I mean, I was just reading through a list here.
Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's one of the things you can find on our website.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I think you
highlights of the Lakeside.
Right. This is from a package that you sent me, and I was reading through some of these.
Okay.
Weaving spiders come not here, right? Is that
their motto.
The motto. It seems to be, I mean, forgive my, you know, bluntness, but bullshit. I mean, I'm looking through it,
yeah,
and it's
sort of, we think they doth protest too much.
Unbelievable.
You know, see, they claim that deals aren't made, and I don't believe that deals are made in the traditional sense of contracts are signed and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ruling class bonding where, you know, when you go back out into the world and you want to give a military contract to somebody, you remember old Joe the Grove gave you his card, and why not do business with him, you know?
Right, yeah.
And we do know that is where Nixon and Reagan met to decide who would run for president first. We do know that's been collaborated. We do know that the atom bomb was conceived up there in 1942. We got that directly out of one of their own publications called Walking Bohemia's Home.
Wow.
And they're quite proud of that, that was where the Manhattan Project was conceived. So it's obviously not where the bomb was built, but it's where the ideas come from.
Right. It's the policy and the ideas.
Exactly.
And the politicians. It's, I guess the thing that, and this is really what I'm most concerned about personally, is the secrecy and the fact that things are going on there outside of public scrutiny.
Well, that's been always, if I had to sum it up in 25 words or less, that is how I would put it, too, that these Lakeside Talks, not all of them, but a good deal of them, are major public, where they float ideas for public policy without any public scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
And we've told them, you know, jokingly many times, I've said, you know, I mean, I'm joking because they know that they're not going to do this, but I've said many times to various media types, you know, that if they would just give us copies of the Lakeside Talks, we'll go away.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, have you ever had any confrontations with the people who head off the Bohemian Grove? I mean,
don't forget, these are very gentlemanly men.
Uh-huh.
And one of them, I mean, we've had interactions with them, no major confrontations.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Clark from McDonald's. He's now deceased, but he came down to when we were camping outside the gates one year, and he was drunk as a skunk and wanted to dialogue
Interesting.
With some of the people.
That's...
And, I mean, I said, hell no. But a couple of the guys that were late night owls went out and talked with him. You know, and it was a lot of, like, we're not bad guys, you know. And, you know, that's McDonald's really isn't one of the people we've targeted, and maybe some people would.
Mm-hmm.
But... We're much more interested in the captains of industry, the people that are making money off of the military industry and the nuclear industry and the, you know, the people that set policy and that sort of thing. And the, and it also can be summed up by calling it ruling class bonding,
mm-hmm.
just a way for the boys to get, you know, away from that public scrutiny and get together.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a I think a pretty valid complaint, and it's the same one I had for the Bilderberg Group. I think you've heard of the Bilderberg Group, right?
Of course.
Yeah, and it's that the media and the government, whenever they meet in a place in secret, I just don't like that.
Well, and speaking of the media, that's a good point that people should understand. Now, you're not going to get a reporter like yourself up there,
mm-hmm.
but we have smuggled in over the years. We've smuggled in reporters from Mother Jones. They came out with an excellent article.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had reporters from People magazine, from, you know, several magazines, and the stories got killed at the in the top echelons because their editors were in there.
Mm-hmm.
They say no journalists allowed, and yet the editors and the owners of these top magazines go up there.
Yeah. Man. So, I mean, I was talking about my experience earlier. I had a pretty creepy experience because my wife drove onto the grounds of the Bohemian Grove and we got chased out.
A lot of people tried, and then she got stopped, right?
No, we didn't get stopped, actually. We just drove out.
Oh, you didn't
As soon as we went through the gates, we turned around and got out of there. I didn't, because my wife doesn't pay attention to no trespassing signs. I noticed there were pretty much hundreds of them all down the road.
Well, if you kept going, security would have stopped you.
I'm sure they would have, but even
and
then.
They would have been polite, uh-huh. you know.
Oh, really? Let me tell you what happened. We turned around and we went right into the gate. There was like a little booth there, right? We turned
That's
around
right.
into the little dirt area, did a 3-point turn, turned around and went right back out. And we were being like, basically the parking lot extends down with the road, right?
Yeah.
To the left. There was a guy in a pickup truck driving right next to us all the way down until he ran out of place to drive, basically. And we, you know, we just kept going out, but I mean, it didn't look like he was going to be very gentlemanly.
Well, no, he was probably trying to intimidate you.
Right.
A lot of people have driven up there, and then, you know, they always say, oh, we didn't realize that this wasn't the through road or something like
right.
that, and they'll just escort you out, and they'll be, now, if you're going to get belligerent with them, I'm sure they'd get, you know, belligerent back.
Right. You know, here I was talking to a local in Monte Rio at a store there, and he said that him and a friend were kayaking down the river. And he pulled up his kayak on a beach to rest, and him and his friend got out and were just kind of stretching and stuff. And three men in full military gear and automatic weapons came down out of the trees and basically told him to get lost so they'd get shot.
Was this during the encampment time?
I'm sure it was. He didn't say for sure when it was, but
they're pretty touchy during the encampment time. But
mm-hmm.
usually, I mean, you got to understand for people who haven't, you know, researched this. They only use this as an encampment for 2 weeks out of the year. That's why I called years ago to open it up to the homeless, so
mm-hmm.
they could get used 52, you know, weeks out of the year. Of course, they're not going to do that.
Right.
But they use it for private parties. Like if you're a member and you want to use it in April, you can reserve it and come up and all. But the last 2 weeks of July is when they're in full force,
mm-hmm.
and they get very testy. But the security really isn't as tight as you would think. We have, you know, I don't want to go too much into that, but we have managed to assist people in getting in, and as long as you're in the right uniform, you know, khaki pants, a little polo shirt with an alligator on it, that kind of thing, casual,
ruling
class attire.
You won't stand out.
And you can blend, and you know, you're well-groomed and all of that. You can usually blend. The reporters that we got in from Spy Magazine and Mother Jones both went in and out several times once they learned how to do it. And they never stayed overnight, though, because at night you have to go to your camp. There's 127 camps within the Grove.
Right.
That's when you would stand out. You know, and like somebody would say, well, what camp are you from? You have to be prepared to answer that.
Interesting. So basically they have a time when everyone's supposed to be in their camp and you're not supposed to be in
your
house?
Well, not necessarily, except when people go to bed. Uh-huh. You know, they stay up, and I mean, some camps are more well known for their pina coladas, or, you know, each kind of has a stamp, and there's a real pecking order with the camps. Mandalay Camp is probably the most prestigious up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of the old money, like the DuPonts and all, that's Henry Kissinger's camp. You know, and then on down the pecking order to the musicians. Some of them, the only black members, I think there's two, are both musicians. They're called Men of Use.
Nice. So it's not only just a men's club, it's
so
a white
like
men's
a class
club.
Structure among the ruling class.
Right. Interesting. I wonder if anybody in the lower class camps find it, like, offensive.
I think they're just so, their ego gets stroked to even be a member.
Yeah. I have I know somebody who has a friend who's been trying to become a member for several years.
Yeah.
And,
Well, Rumsfeld went on the fast track. He almost got in overnight back in his heyday.
Oh, really?
There is a man that I've been working with now who's an ex-Bohemian who actually resigned because he didn't like their logging plan. I'm not going to mention him by name because I don't know if that's okay with him. But he took a principled stand. He was a real environmentalist, and this is the logging plan within the grove. And he felt that it was fouling their own nest and it was going to create more fire hazard than save it from fires. And he's going to pursue a lawsuit with them. And I met with him, and he's turned around in his opinion. He said that it used to be when he was at the cremation of care, he really saw it as like a bonding thing, you know, a camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see, you know, the obvious, what you and I would see just looking at the pictures. They wear red hooded robes, they're around a fire chanting in druidic, you know, ways. And it's very bizarre.
It is very bizarre. I mean, just reading about it, it's very bizarre. I mean, the huge owl and the whole...
Yeah, the owl is their
effigy.
Big thing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, let me ask you some questions. What is the deal with this whole logging thing?
I mean, I feel qualified to talk about the logging. They obviously have a beautiful, pristine forest with a lot of old-growth redwoods, which they've always been very proud of. And we're not sure what the motivation is, but they...
It can't be money. I mean, they're rich, aren't they? I mean,
one would think, you know, but why... I mean, there's quite a bit of controversy about it. What I can do for you is put you in touch with this gentleman if he wants to go on and talk about it. That isn't my area. First of all, I want to make really clear that while he has very valid concerns, our focus is not what they're doing inside the grove. Our focus is what they're doing outside the grove to the rest of the world.
Okay.
That's our focus.
Okay.
And so much attention for these people, some people, is on what they're doing. They're dressing up like women and they're, you know, peeing on trees and getting drunk and having gay sex. And, you know, it's just like, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what we're doing through the Lakeside Talks is pointing out that they're setting policy for you and I.
Right. You're more concerned with the political aspects of it.
I'm concerned with what they're doing to the world.
Right.
Not what they're doing in their own backyard.
Yeah, understandable. Understandable.
Now, if somebody can prove to me that they're burning real babies on the cremation of care or have underground sex chambers, you know, I'll certainly... I don't approve of that.
Yeah, I can't see any evidence.
Prove what they're...
I've been looking for evidence, and I have found nothing yet. Other than pictures that people claim, and I'm going to look into it a lot more. I'm hoping to get to the bottom of it, at least get to a point where I can say that, you know, either without a doubt this is going on, or that there's so much doubt that there's no way I can believe it. You know what I'm saying?
Show me the evidence, and I'll get outraged with you. But you don't need to make stuff up about these guys. They're already bad enough when you consider they're killing babies in Iraq and Afghanistan and a lot of other places around the world. Certainly Central America had its heyday back in the 80s.
Right, and they talked about the Central American thing, the whole Iran-Contra thing there, did they not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we have a whole paper that's just focused on the... special interests read resources that they're mining out of Central America. You know, usually it's, you know, whether it's oil or whatever it is, they usually want something out of these countries.
Mm-hmm. See, here we got, we're in 1981. We have Caspar Weinberg, Secretary of Defense for the Reagan administration. His topic was rearming America. Now, this is
exactly
post-Cold War.
Right before the Reagan buildup.
Yeah, it's...
Remember the early 80s? That's when we came out with the Trident and the MX and all of those. That
right.
was right before, and that was a speech that was given. I often explain it that if you can tell by the Lakeside Talks what we're going to be in store for the rest of us and then, you know, the coming years.
Right. Now, they don't publish... I mean, this only goes up to 2000. Have you got anything post-2000? Like, I'd be interested to know if there's anything more recent. Like, maybe a couple years?
I do have them, but we've had more difficulty in the last few years. They've gotten really strict about leaving those schedules of events around.
Uh-huh.
In the early days, they used to have a guest list, and those were wonderful for doing research. I mean, 1 year, we only got them for the first 2 or 3 years. 1 year, CIA, McCone came in with the new CIA, William Casey, as mm-hmm. his guest. I mean, it was just wonderful to see who was bringing who up there.
Right.
And once they got wind of what we were doing, now they if you want to know who's on the guest list, you have to go down to the security office and it's under glass. They don't float them around anymore.
Interesting.
But these Lakeside Talk schedules, they still float around, but they've tightened it up a lot.
Okay. Do you ever get worried? I mean, you live near this place. I mean, do you ever get worried that your phone's being tapped and or anything like that? I mean,
oh, I assume that that's the kind of thing. I operate openly, and I've been a political activist since 1962, so...
Uh-huh.
Sometimes being visible, I mean, if anything mysterious happened to me, I'm sure that's the first place people, and certainly my family, would look.
No doubt. I mean, I was...
There are people that care about me, so, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
But, I mean, you know, and I'm not the only one. When, you know, there have been a lot of people, but I ended up kind of as the keeper of the flame with the archives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I get a lot of calls, and I maintain the website, and I send informational packets out, and that sort of thing. I don't organize protests anymore. I'm turning 73 on Monday, and I'm just too tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Nobody you can
so
pass the flame on to, huh?
This way now.
You don't know anybody you can pass the torch to, or?
I would love to pass the torch, but unfortunately, George Bush has created so much work in the activist community that there's nobody. There have been some people that tried, not in our name, Sonoma County and the Greens and all,
mm-hmm.
but. It really takes somebody with larger networks than
mm-hmm.
single-issue things
mm-hmm.
To really get the numbers out. First of all, it's extremely hot in July.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this, and we're, well, you know, you saw where it was. We're a little far out. We're not in a major population center.
Right, yeah, absolutely not.
So,
I mean,
you know,
the closest city-like area is Sebastopol, right?
Pardon?
The nearest city-type area is Sebastopol. Which is pretty small in and of itself, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Guerneville, but I mean, even Sebastopol isn't that big.
Right. Now, I have a few questions to ask you, and then I want to basically find out what you want to talk about, because I'm sure you have an inside knowledge, it would be more important for you to direct the conversation to something that's probably more valid in your heart about this whole thing and what's motivated you. But one of the questions that I have is about the locals. You know, I it was funny that I heard that the locals don't like to talk about it. What's the kind of, I mean, you're a local, what is the beliefs locally about this place? I mean, do they have
a
lot of,
are
they pretty outraged? Are they pretty outraged about it, or?
Again, I maybe you just talked, I mean, there are people there that would probably have been glad to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of local support. We've also had locals that resent the protests because the Bohemians bring a lot of money into the community.
Mm.
And what they have all done over the years, I mean, these aren't dumb men. You know, they're used to buying what they want, and they put on an event every year. I forget what they call it, for the community, that the money goes to the local church and the local school.
Mm.
So the establishment people there like it because it brings money in. The business people like them because they bring money in.
Mm.
And, you know, so, but there's a lot of people, it's not an unprogressive area. that do, you know, they just don't seem to want to have to do the organizing of it, which is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that it is totally defended or totally disparaged. I think it's a mixed thing.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. Now, I want to get into some of the rumors, because people who listen to this show and on the station in general are, you know, you hear rumors about the place. So if I start with you, I'd like to talk a little bit about them. We don't want to go into them in too much detail because I know you're not really too into them. But,
well, first of all, let me just say about the rumors is it's their very secrecy that creates this in people's minds. If they mm-hmm. weren't so damn secretive, I think people would let them, you know, would more coexist with them.
Why the secrecy then? I mean,
because they like their privacy. They really see, for years, it wasn't until 1980 that we started calling attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they like just being able to go and kick back and not have the world going, what are you doing?
Right. They can damn fools and nobody would say anything about it.
Yeah, the people will, in fact, a lot of the people before the hippies started moving in here in the 70s, you know, like I said, they would bring money into the community.
Mm-hmm.
So the people thought that was really cool.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people still do. A lot of people will identify with the ruling class, you know, against their own class interests.
Interesting. So there's a lot of rumors. There's, you know, I'm not going to get into, like, the child molestation, anything that's not provable. But one of the things that I hear is that there's a tremendous amount of homosexual activity going on. Now, not that I care, because I'm not against gay people in any way, shape,
right.
or form. You know, I believe in freedom. That's part of the name of my website in this show, is Truth, Love, and Freedom. But the thing is that I find really interesting is that it's supposed to be an overwhelmingly conservative group of people, is it not?
Well, this is the hypocrisy. That's the part that bothers me, exactly what you said. Our original Deep Throat, the one that in 1980 that got us the membership list, and
mm-hmm.
has, you know, he's deceased now. He was a gay man. He was fairly high up in the union, and he's the one that first approached us, and he said that, you know, a lot of times it was like the guy back in the slavery days of the master coming down to the house where the, you know, where the slaves live, the slave house.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they will come down, and that if somebody likes to make their cute little waiter or something, and they want to make a little money on the side, that's usually able to do it. They also have a very heavy prostitution scene up there.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It isn't just gay. I mean, they're getting away from their wives, you know. These are, like you say, these are pretty conservative men, and they probably live very stilted lives.
And they just let their ambitions go.
Well, I mean, most of those wives aren't swingers, you know.
Yeah.
So the men are getting away, and that's what men like to do when they're getting away and on vacation. They get drunk and they use hookers, both men and women, depending on their, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of bisexuality, too.
Right.
But he used to laugh about that, too, you know, and he says it's a good, they pay fairly well to their help, and then you can make a little on the side. Now, until 1986, women were not allowed to work there.
Right.
That's a whole other aspect of it.
Mm.
And we raised hell with the state of California, said you can't do that, and this went up to the state Supreme Court, where they finally had to hire women, but they were not happy about it.
Interesting.
They thought the women would get in the way of their having fun.
Oh, wow. Well, I bet they're having a little bit more fun now, too.
Well, depends on what the women were doing.
I mean, yeah, that's what I wonder, you know, like, to what extent does this go on? You know, like, is it, like, orgies going on or something? What the hell's going on there? You know, like,
yeah,
maybe that's why it's so secret.
See, I don't focus on that because I really don't care.
Okay.
I just don't. I'm much more concerned about the people they're killing, and their policies are affecting people and creating more poverty.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I definitely see that.
But again, you're right to point it out because it's the hypocrisy.
Right. It's this idea that they're running on a campaign of, you know, strong conservative morals.
Exactly.
And, you know, conservative values, they say. And then here they are, like, humping men in the Bohemian Grove.
But, you know, any hooker worth her salt would say that they get that kind of client all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the thing is that, for me, it's a matter of exposing them for who they are, because, I mean, I think the people who are the same kind of people who would lie to get into the, you know, to pretend to be something they're not something like conservative and anti-gay, this and that, while they're having sex with children or pages or, you know, other men or whatnot, are the same kind of people who are going to lie to the public to, you know, say that they're doing something for peace when they're really doing it for a corporate interest or whatnot. I think there's a lot to say about someone's character, you know?
Well, yeah, but see, I'm so old now that I just assume that's the way when you get to those far reaches, those far heights.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that most of them are like that. Now, maybe that's unfair, but not just the Grove. I've seen that in real life, too.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I said this multiple times in other shows. People who are attracted to power are weird people already.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Their priorities are pretty skewed. I mean, it's a very greedy and selfish way of being in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you find an exception that isn't that way, mm-hmm. you almost find it hard to believe.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. So, if you will, I don't know if there's any direction you want to go, something that you want that's close to your heart, or maybe something that you just want to talk about or bring up or you think people should know, feel free to state it and we'll go there.
Well, I just want to stress that obviously this isn't the only place where powerful men gather, mm-hmm. you know, in secrecy. But it happened to be in our backyard, and it happens to be, you know, one of the most longest standing and longest running mm-hmm. private men's clubs. And I think when they started in the late 1880s, they probably were more bohemians, although bohemians with money, which is kind of a contradiction in terms.
It is.
But it wasn't until, I mean, people like Mark Twain and Jack London, and Jack London was a socialist,
mm-hmm.
You know. But I think it was in the 20s, you know, there's a symbiotic relationship between art and power.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these men are great in a boardroom and they can make a lot of money, but they're lousy at being creative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of the artists needed money to keep going. And when the money came over by 2008, you know, the money is pretty much taken it over.
Yeah.
And that's how this man that I was telling you about feels, the one that quit in protest on the logging.
So how long has he been a member?
Hello?
How long has he been a member?
I think he was a member maybe 10, 20 years. I really don't know. Really not sure how long he was a member.
Interesting.
He's probably in his 50s.
Okay.
But his family had all been members. I mean, it gets passed down, too, if you're coming from that kind of family.
Right. Yeah, I would love to talk to the guy just to hear his insight on everything.
I will contact him and see if he would agree to do an interview with
you. Okay, it'll be next Friday. I mean, okay. I mean, as soon as I can.
Are you still planning to come up?
I'm hoping to. The thing is, I'm finding that there's not a whole lot of cell phone reception, nor is there...
Oh, well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, like, I don't know how I'm going to do a show there. I mean, if you're out in the middle of a forest... You know, I guess I'm looking into possibly renting a vacation rental or something like that. I'm not going up there without people either, you know,
well,
like without several people. So
I would think that you might. I know somebody that I will put in touch with you that is more technologically advanced than I am.
Okay, and he's in that area.
That might be able to answer some of the questions.
Yeah, because
there.
If I'm going to do a live show, I either need to be able to have cell phone access and or Wi-Fi. Or not Wi-Fi, just, you know, high what do you call it?
Wireless.
Not wireless, but, you know, high-speed internet somewhere. High speed, DSL, at least, yeah. So I can do the radio show. I can bring my equipment. It's no problem, but...
No, we are out in the boonies, so that might be a problem.
I mean,
you could do that in Sebastopol or Santa Rosa.
Right.
But whether you could do that in Monterey, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, if you can get me in contact with somebody, I'll definitely find out what's going on and hopefully make it up there. I mean, I'm a little apprehensive about just being in the area in general. Like, I almost didn't move. I was almost, like I told you, I almost moved there. But I almost didn't because of the fact that the Grove was there. I mean, it creeps me out.
Oh, I see. Wow.
It really does.
Well, I'm real happy where I live. I mean, it's just a beautiful area, as you saw.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I mean, I live here, you know, 52 weeks out of the year. They're only up here for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure this is my space, and they're just visiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. I just don't want anybody, you know, nowadays with Bush and the whole, you know, sneaking people off to prisons in other countries and stuff. I don't
know. Oh, no, I know. But you know what? If we're going to have any kind of change, you just can't live that way.
Right.
You really can't let them dictate how you're going to live.
Right.
Is how I look at it. And you live in a beautiful space. I was born and raised in San Luis Obispo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's it's a beautiful area. I really like it here.
Yeah.
It's not as good as up there, though. I got to say, I really like that area up there more. So I'm going to invite anybody to call in. We got about 30 minutes left. The number is 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. We'll take your call, and you can ask Mary Moore a question about the Bohemian Grove.
Carl, yeah. I can probably only stay another 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
No, that's absolutely fine.
I just got home, and I've got unpacking I still have to do.
Okay, no worries at all. So is there anything, like, before you go that you feel that should be talked about? I mean, that's...
Well, just so people understand that it isn't just... The Grove is our way to make a point.
Right.
So it's not like we're trying to get them to... quit meeting at the Grove. I mean that they help us make our point that, you know, change in this country does not come about the way it's taught in civics, that you just lobby your senator and then he'll go do your bidding. I mean, I think that's kind of become very obvious to most people that are paying any kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's done in back rooms. It's finalized in Congress, maybe, but the conception part of it is in back rooms and in private and knowing somebody, you know, in social circles. And that Bohemian Grove is just simply that concept on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's unique in the sense of what we're talking about. And I just think people need to understand that doesn't mean you don't vote. I've voted in every election since I was 18 years old, back in the old days. But I don't have any fantasy that that's how the real change gets made. And I think people need to quit being naive and wake up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you have a listenership that is fairly sophisticated and knows that already.
I hope so. That's what I try to keep balance, but it can be... I try to just give information, and I give my opinions, but I keep it separate from the information so people can draw their own conclusions. But, you know, that it's really tough when you deal in topics like this because... You know, it's like, where does it end? You know, I hear all these rumors. When you talk about things that I've touched on are Freemasonry, the Bilderberg Group. I talk about,
right.
You know, government surveillance. I talk about, religious institutions and political action committees and, you know, whatnot, all different types of factions. You know, and with every single one of these groups, you know, there's different people with different opinions. And you have to – part of my ethic is believing in freedom, and I believe that everybody should have the right to believe what they want. As long as they don't affect the other person.
And all these opinions should be examined.
Right. But they should, yeah, definitely.
Again, it's not that I disbelieve the other. It's that I'm choosing to prioritize my focus. And, you know, again, the Lakeside Talks, I have them right in front of me. I can look at the original document that they appeared in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can point to that and say... That's who's speaking of. The head of the World Bank is giving a speech today on the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I just think that is bad enough. I don't need to follow a lot of these other theories.
Right.
But if somebody else wants to do it, as you say, they're free to do it. And people need to use critical thinking when they're, you know, examining all of them.
Right, absolutely. Is there anything going on that you know of? I mean, did you get any inside information about what's going on now or no?
Not yet. They just came in today, and
right.
So what we have to do is wait till some of our helpers,
mm-hmm.
one of them gets drunk and leaves that Lakeside Talk thing hanging around.
Nice. The alcohol is quite a friend.
They don't send it to us.
Yeah, no doubt.
It would be nice. You'd think after almost 30 years they could just put one in the mail to me, but... They make me work for it.
No doubt. So would you be willing to come on maybe next week or the following week and just do 15
sure.
minutes with us and just
today
let us know what you found out?
It was a particularly hard day for me because I had a lot of things I had to do out in the outside world and all my stuff still sitting in the car so I could get here in time
right.
for this phone call.
Okay. Thank you so much for doing that for me, by the way. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
So anything else? Because I'm going to go ahead and let you go if that's...
No, I think that covers it.
Awesome.
And if you want to talk to me next week, maybe you'll have more questions that people have phoned in. I'll be glad to answer them.
Okay. And if you can get me in touch with that gentleman and see if he's interested in doing it.
I will put you in touch with somebody who knows the capacity of Monte Rio to host you.
Yeah.
And also with the man about the logging.
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
All right. This is Mary Moore.
Forward to meeting
you. All right. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that was Mary Moore of the Bohemian Action Network protesting the Bohemian Grove for several years now. She has tons of information about it, inside information. And, you know, people like that are working for our freedoms and basically drawing attention to the various issues. I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and I'm going to come back in just a second and maybe wrap a few things up and take a call if anybody wants to call in. Please do. The number is 1-877-REVERE-0 or 1-877-738-3730.
Grind, man. 2005, man. Yo, I know a place where the buildings are shot up and the news helicopters won't bother, and the terrorists on and Al Qaeda, they flash red and blue lights and pull up behind ya. There's a place where nothing is fair. A thug raises his gun, I can taste the blood in the air. The churches close up, no one coming to prayer. It's like cops are corrupt, the government doesn't care. Fuck it. Dirty water running from the faucets. People stabbed on each other in housing projects. Feet sleeping in garbage, talking nonsense. Murderers, drug dealers, and pickpockets. It's all sorts of culprits to me. In the belly of the beast, thugs got no conscience. Kids growing up without moms and poppers. No health care here, can't afford the doctors. The smog is slow stash and train tracks. A concrete jungle full of pain and payback. Where they build the prisons and power plants at. And kids die from AIDS like lab rats. This is hell, the city just rots. Bullshit never stops, Uncle Sam's got a plot. Big brother cameras watching the block. Helicopters in the sky, keep the hood on lock. We got guns, drugs, murder, thugs, the cops, war, sex, blood. The hustlers, the packs, the busters, the rats, the ballers, the snakes, and a whole lot of cash. For the guns, drugs, murder, thugs, the cops, war, sex, blood. The hustlers, the packs, the busters, the rats, the ballers, the snakes, and it's all for the cash. I know a place where fathers get sent up and mothers are forced to get their children up, where they serve and protect them from us. On your way to hell in that prison bus, there's a place where they lock you in a cage for days with no charges. Cops never save the day. The schools just prepare you to be a slave. 50% unemployed, the rest underpaid. Some young chemists cook crack out of cocaine, but never crack the book back to bring about change. Saying, no one's aware, nobody cares. Why say a prayer? It's like nobody's there. But lots of gun shops, liquor stores, and jewelers. No college, just military recruiters. They want you to kill in Iraq for the core. Look at this war, it's the poor killing the poor, and cops kicking your doors. Cause fuck obeying laws when people are starving and sleeping on the floors. They ignore the problem as long as it's ours. There's a third world country behind these walls. It's Vietnam like my step-pop's nightmares. But this ain't Iraq, this is right here. We got our own occupation. Cops got us caged in. You're just a slave on the plantation. We got guns, drugs, murder, thugs, the cops, war, sex, blood. The hustlers, the packs, the busters, the rats, the ballers, the snakes, and a whole lot of cash. For the guns, drugs, murder, thugs, the cops, war, sex, blood. The hustlers, the packs, the busters, the rats, the ballers, the snakes, and it's all for the cash, man.
Okay, the number is 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. That song was called Hell by artist Grime. If you enjoyed it, check it out. Find them on the line online. And, you know, I'm just going through some of the information here. I have literally a packet of information that she sent me. And, you know, it's pretty, some of the stuff is pretty outrageous. I'm going to try to scan it and post it on my website for people to read through. Maybe you can download it or print it as a PDF file. There's quite a bit of information. I mean, there's 20 years of the Lakeside Talks here. And, you know, let me see what else is there. There's maps of the of what the different camp areas are. Let's see. I didn't expect to end so quickly. So what I'm going to do, basically, I just want to bring up another thing. Like I said, I'm going to try to get a hold of this guy and find out what's going on with the whole wooding. It's basically what they want to do is they want to log the grove. My question is, why? I mean, they got, it's obviously not for money. They got plenty of money. I mean, they got their most wealthy, powerful people in the freaking country, and if not the world, going there. I would imagine that it's not a money issue. So what is it? What is it, the reason that they're trying to log? You say it's going to help the fire. Well, many people have already said that it's going to make the fire issue worse, so that can't be the real reason. So what is it? Is it trying to make room for more people? Are they trying to build another area? I can't imagine what it is. But it's an old growth redwood area. It's protected, and they're trying to – actually, they're launching a website as a you know, dealing with the public, basically, to plead their case on why they think that it would be a good idea to log. I found it before it was developed, actually, and I traced it back to the person who developed it. I lost that information and have not been able to find it since. So if anybody has come across that, please send me an email and let me know. I want to get a hold of the person who's making the website and talk to him. It would be interesting, you know? He probably won't talk to us, but we can give it a try. For the remainder of the show, I'm going to play the volume's not very good. But I don't really have a whole lot more to say until next week, until I can get in touch with this guy and get some research done on some of the claims about what's going on in the Bohemian Grove. But I wanted to play the Cremation of Care ceremony. And it's pretty long, actually. I'm only going to be able to get through part of it. But it, hopefully the volume will be good enough that you'll actually be able to hear what's going on. It's I guess it's two parts. Okay, let me go ahead and play that.
Remember, it was a hidden camera and at somewhat of an angle.
By the way, this is Alex Jones speaking speaking over the video. He's the one that snuck in and was able to apprehend video of this to make public. So you'll be hearing his interpretation of things, not necessarily endorsed by myself, just to let you know.
Something particularly pleasing was happening for the Bohemian Grovers with whatever developed with that crowd of men in black and brown and the bound body on the back of the buggy. They drove behind big black tarps they had hanging out of the trees. There was lots of smacking on lips of and bizarre enjoyment by the crowd. We still haven't made out exactly what was going on, but that a real sacrifice may have actually been developing, according to some occult experts. All the time in the darkness across the small lake, the men in black were doing something behind the dark curtains hanging from the redwood trees. And after about 10 more minutes of music, suddenly all around the owl activity began. Here is the main central part of the ritual.
The owl is in his leafy temple. Let all within the grove be reverent before him. Lift up your heads, O ye trees, and be lifted up, ye everlasting choirs. For behold, here is Bohemian shrine, and holy are the pillars of this house. Summer's joy. Sky above is blue. Sown with stars. The forest floor is heaped with fragrant fruit. Evening's cool kiss is yours. The campfire's glow. The birth of roses in your dawn. Shake off your sorrows with the city's dust and cast to the winds the cares of life. But memory bring back the well-loved names of gallant friends who knew and loved this girl. Dear boon companions of the long ago. Hi, let them join us in this ritual. Not a place to be empty in our days. Oh, beauty vassals, who hold in this gray autumn of the world or springtime in your heart, a 10-hour tale. Gather ye forest folk, and cast your spell over these mortals. Touch their world-blind eyes with fairy unhinged. Hope their eyes and blow all the memories of yesterday and seal the gates of sorrow. It is a dream, and yet not all a dream. Dull care and all of his works are but a dream. As vanished Babylon and goodly Tyre, so shall they also vanish. But the wilding rose blows on the broken battlements of Tyre, and walks rend the stones of battle. For beauty is eternal, and we bow to beauty everlasting. For lasting happiness, return to one alone. And she surrounds you now, great nature, refuge of the weary heart, and only balm for breasts that have been bruised. She has cool hands for every fevered brow, and featherless silence for the troubled soul. She counsels her most wise. She healeth well, having such ministries as calm and sleep. She is ever faithful. Other friends may fail, but seek ye her in any quiet place. Smiling, she will rise and give to you her kiss. So must ye come as children. Little children that believe nor ever doubt her beauty and her faith, nor deem her tenderness can change or die.
Thank you.
Here you have the boatman, his face painted up like a skull, bringing the bound body across the water. Again, we'll have enhanced video of this later. And let's see if you can pick up all the different occultic meanings in the speeches you're about to hear.
The shadowy tide, know the ancient majesty of death, know the arch enemy of beauty. Not for thee the test is forgiven, or the restful day. Fire shall have its will of thee, and all the winds make merry with thy dust. Bring fire!
Would like to see the video of this, you can look up Cremation of Care on YouTube. It's in two parts.
When we learn that me he cannot slay, year after year he burned me in this world.
Nourished for the days of end.
All right, everybody. Truth, love, freedom. Truthoffreedom.org. This is your host, So Real. Just wanting to let you know that next week we're going to continue this topic of the Bohemian Grove. Hopefully, I'll be doing a live broadcast from the Grove or somewhere near the Grove. And we hopefully can get an interview with a gentleman who was once a member who has recently resigned because of some issues, especially that involving the forestry going on. Maybe we'll get Mary Moore back on to give us some insight as to what the Lakeside Talks were all about. Check out the video, and we'll see you next week. Peace and love.